always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Washington, where the Biden administration has just announced deals to cut the cost of 10 widely used prescription drugs, saving taxpayers and Medicare recipients billions of dollars.
The price cut is part of the president's Inflation Reduction Act, which gave Medicare the power to negotiate prices with drug companies. These lower prices will help millions of Americans save on the cost of health care for life-saving drugs for conditions including heart disease and diabetes. The new prices will kick in 2026, but have already kicked in for other prescription medications like insulin. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
President Biden and Vice President Harris are expected to tout the initiative in Maryland during their first joint campaign appearance since Mr. Biden dropped his reelection bid. During an appearance in Asheville, North Carolina, former President Donald Trump insisted Americans with Obamacare won't have to worry if he's elected in November.
She goes around saying, well, he's going to get rid of the health. No, I'm going to keep it unless we can come up with something that's better for you and less expensive for you. Otherwise, we're not doing it.
Just in from Moscow, a ballerina with dual U.S.-Russian citizenship has been sentenced to 12 years in prison on treason charges for making a $50 donation to a U.S.-based pro-Ukraine charity. People in Puerto Rico are facing the daunting task of cleaning up from Hurricane Ernesto, which triggered massive flooding and knocked out power to half the island. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is there.
We've arrived in Dorado. This is a neighborhood that's about a half hour outside of San Juan, and a problem that is being multiplied over and over across the island, that, of course, being power lines and power poles that came down during the storm.
Forecasters say Ernesto could amp up to a powerful Category 3 hurricane as it heads toward Bermuda. Hamas says its negotiators will not be at the table when ceasefire talks resume in Qatar today. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Jack Lew says time is running out.
It's of enormous urgency because it's also part of the whole question of maintaining some stability in this region and not having violence escalate.
Police are still looking for a convicted murderer who escaped from a prison transport van in Hillsborough, North Carolina, Tuesday. Keith Acree with the State Department of Adult Corrections says a $35,000 reward is helping.
Since the reward has been in place, the volume of calls coming in has been significant and steady, and a lot of folks are providing information. We're very thankful for that. We want to continue to encourage that.
Officials say they have widened their search. S&P futures up 8. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voter turnout Tuesday in Wisconsin's fastest-growing county was 45%. That's the highest for a fall primary in Dane County in 40 years. Democrat Kelda Royes represents Madison in the state Senate.
You know, Wisconsin is always a swing state. It is on a knife's edge. So I don't think that anybody should be feeling overconfident. But I do think that all the facts point to the election trending blue.
Turnout in Wisconsin's other big blue county, Milwaukee County, was 33%. 16 Republican state lawmakers won their primaries easily Tuesday. The closest races are won by Paul Tittle, who took nearly 60% of the vote, and Chaz Green and Karen Hurd, who won 57%. WisPolitics reports insiders expected more of an anti-incumbent wave. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers hold on for the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It went to the ninth inning, but the Brewers able to hold on to a 5-4 victory over the Dodgers last night that snapped a 3-game losing streak for Milwaukee and ended a 5-game winning streak for L.A. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
We competed. That's the Brewers you guys have seen all year. We competed regardless of who was on the mound. We competed. We bounced back. Every inning we put pressure. Most every inning we tried to put pressure. You know, it made a difference.
NFL Vikings rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy out for the year. after suffering a torn meniscus in his right knee in their preseason game against the Raiders, McCarthy undergoing season-ending surgery. Packers joint practice with the Broncos is tomorrow in Denver. Matt LaFleur warning his players.
If guys need to play in the preseason, get in a fight, you're not going to play. The practices are the times to do your work. And if you don't get your work in, you're going to get it in the game. So that's kind of how we've operated around here for a couple years.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, into tomorrow, and there could be some locally heavy rain, amounts of a half inch or more possible in spots. 75 today, 68 tonight, clearing 81 tomorrow. The weekend, plenty of sunshine with highs near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about the Pabst Mansion in Milwaukee. Also, all things sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, August 15th, 2024. 82 days till Election Day. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wasota. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, through social media, or by podcast, we appreciate you taking us along on your day. Got a question for you. Were you starting to feel like the Brewers were going to get swept by the Dodgers in this four-game series? Because they're not, so that's pretty awesome. Quite the finish to the game last night. I mean, I missed it. I just read about it. I'm excited about it. That's why I'm telling you about it. And we'll have the details coming up in just a bit here on this Thursday morning. Also ahead, Senate candidate Eric Hovde has spent an estimated $13 million of his own money so far in his quest to unseat Senator Tammy Baldwin. We're going to talk to Joe Specky about the return on investment on that little gamble as he tries to unseat Senator Tammy Baldwin. Hovde also told a reporter recently, he's not going to be transparent about his personal wealth, even as he seeks to write the tax policies that could grow his own wealth. So we'll have a little discussion about that as well. We'll talk to Joe about the two constitutional referendums being defeated and whether that will bring an end to the power trips that GOP legislators have been trying to use against Governor Tony Evers. In more instances of men behaving badly, J.D. Vance said the whole purpose of the postmenopausal female is to help raise their grandchildren. So apparently it's not enough just to go up against childless cat ladies, you know, when they're younger, but apparently when they're older, if you don't have grandchildren, apparently you're not living up to your full potential, according to J.D. Vance. And Donald Trump delivered what was advertised to be a major economic address, talking about economic policy. It was not. He mocked it. He said, they told me I have to come talk about the economy. And then he went on to do his usual riff of insults and lies. So we'll highlight a bit of those remarks as well. Then on the flip side, we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, in our second hour, and we will talk to State Senate candidate Kristen Hoffheim, along with our friends Kate and Nicole from Motherhood for Good. All of that just ahead on this Thursday morning, and you can also call into the show or text the show if you like at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. We have a growing band of regular or near-regular morning texters. And we appreciate that very much. We get to see those right on our big old computer screen here, and we pass along some of them to you. So feel free to chime in. Tell us what you're up to, where you're listening from, any questions or comments you have on the news along the way. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us or call us through the Civic Media app. And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can put something in the comment section and we'll see that and maybe put it up on screen as well. It's coming up on 6:10 right now, and Greg Bach is in downtown Waukesha, as he always is at this hour of the day. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks. We've got a lovely 64-degree morning here in Chippewa Falls, while in beautiful Waukesha, it's
71.
71. See, I didn't know if the temperature was right there at your fingertips or not. I was realizing as I was rattling through all the temperatures, you know, every morning at about this time, that we're kind of in that time of period now where it's like everybody is like, you know, 64, 65, 61, 62. It's like, do we really need the whole roll call here? You kind of know where you are. You can stick your head out the window. Brittany Merlot can tell us where the temperatures are going to be. Where I think it becomes much more critical is when you get closer to winter and you got kids going out to the bus stop and knowing what to get them dressed up in.
Oh yeah.
You know what I've forgotten to mention all week here from last weekend was one of the movies. I went to go see Deadpool versus Wolverine over the weekend.
How did you like it?
I really liked it, although now I will say I am not a fan of violence in movies. I'm just not. But I know, yeah, real surprise, huh? But at some point, it's such a cartoon level of extreme violence.
Yeah.
You know, that you just roll with it. Yep. You know, it has lost all of its shock value. And you're going, well, why are you watching it then? Because it's one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time. Ryan Reynolds. My goodness, I already knew how fast this guy's so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember when the late night hosts all took their shows down during the writer's strike?
Yeah.
And so it was Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, the five of them, along with John Oliver and Seth Meyers, Jimmy Kimmel. They did a podcast throughout the writer's strike called Strike Force 5.
Uh-huh.
And it was really good. It started out slow because these five huge egos. They've never worked with each other before. Yeah. By the third show, they're really gelling. By the fifth episode, this thing is hilarious. But Ryan Reynolds would drop in every so often to do these live commercials and bust all of them up.
Yeah.
Because he's that funny, you know?
Yeah.
And so they give it basically, I mean, look, if you're a Marvel Comics, Marvel movies fan, okay, it's fine. I mean, it's not an essential piece of the Marvel universe. It's a Ryan Reynolds vehicle is what it is. Oh, by the way, and just to make sure you want to come hear Ryan Reynolds be funny, we're going to have Hugh Jackman take off his shirt every so often, you know, as Wolverine.
Yeah. I'm here for, but you know,
I was gonna say Sherry didn't mind.
I mean,
one bit, yeah.
Oh no, a man in peak physical condition. Why not?
Ah, please, no, stop. Put it back on. Yeah. It was more funny than it was violent, and it was really violent.
Oh yeah.
Don't bring the small kids. And people always go, well, it's R-rated. They're not going to. No, there's always somebody that's like, oh, that R doesn't mean anything. And next thing you know, the kid is just traumatized. So,
and the parents are complaining.
Yes.
There was an animated movie that came out, like, I don't know, 5-10 years ago called Sausage Party. And they had like, it was an R-rated animated movie. And they spent so much time saying, this is an adults only film. Do not bring children. R-rated. Mm-hmm. Adult content. Like, they could not have made it more clear that this was not a movie for children, and still there are parents like, I brought my child to this movie, and they're like, yeah, did the people who sold you the ticket not say to you, hey, this is an R-rated film, you know that, right? This is going to be bad.
Okay, so this takes us back to 1991. Story I'm going to tell here.
Oh boy.
good friend of mine who he became a stepdad to like a 3 or 4 year old. So he had not started from square one on this. He kind of joined in progress. And again, we were much younger back then. And he was going to his local Blockbuster or whatever and sees something with a doll on it and a nice little family-friendly title. And was watching the movie Child's Play with this 3-4-year-old.
Oh, no.
Yeah, with Chucky, you know, the slasher movie. Oh. And at some point he realizes, oh, this is not
See,
a family. So he turns it off, but the damage has been done. At some point in the middle of the night, this kid wakes up with the worst nightmares, just screaming. And it's one of those where you look at your friend and you go, I can't believe you're telling me this because I am never going to let you live this down.
Yeah.
Never.
I guess it's pre-Google. It's pre all those
things. Right, right. Yes.
But still.
That child's play. It'll be fun.
No. You show them Look Who's Talking. Now, that's a movie about babies and fun.
I don't know. I'd get nightmares about that, too. Steve Guttenberg trying to raise me. No, it's just
that's
not.
That's 3 men and a baby.
Dang, I hate when I mess up the words mess up and mix up.
Okay, welcome to Up North News Radio, everybody, with Pat Krylov.
Welcome to Pat Needs Another Cup of Coffee, and instead is going to switch gears and talk about the Brewers, because I know that much better than I know.
Sports boring.
Movies. I am sad to have missed the ninth inning, and I can't even say it's because the Brewers were on the West Coast. They weren't. They were playing the Dodgers here at home. I just had hit the wall, and I'm like, no, I can't stay up for the rest of this. Plus, you know, the Brewers lost the first two games of the series, and even though they were, I think, tied when I finally called it a night, I thought, come on, it's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, look at the top of the lineup is Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. Do you know what that payroll is? I remember hearing this from the TV guys last night. That's a $1 billion payroll, just your 1, 2, and 3 hitters. I was not going to be bothered if the Brewers lost again. This team is a juggernaut, and it's fine. And yet, by the time they got to the ninth inning, the Brewers were up 5-4. And so the Dodgers come up in the ninth inning. It's their last chance. And who are the batters coming up? That, of course, would be Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman.
Yeah.
Devin Williams comes in. Devin Williams has just been back from an injury.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't. Again, he struggled his first outing, but he did okay. And you're thinking, okay, well, does he have it? Or here's the real test. Well, here's the test in the ninth inning. Devin Williams retires Shohei Ohtani on a fly ball to left field. Mookie Betts, strikeout. Freddie Freeman grounds out to second. 3 outs on 7 pitches. Brewers win 5-4. Your first place, Milwaukee Brewers.
I would like to make 1 point, though, with the Dodgers. They are good, and they have an amazing lineup in Mookie Betts, Shohei, and Freddie Freeman. But they have, what am I looking at here, 3 more victories and 2 less losses than the Brewers. So on that note alone, the Brewers are doing amazing.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, they are so incredible. Whereas, this was supposed to be the Cubs year. I just pulled up the standings here. The Cubs are still 4 games below 500, 10 games behind the Brewers. The Brewers' lead over Cincinnati in the division now is 8.5 games.
And the Brewers were counted out at the beginning during spring training.
Yes. Oh, they were counted out when Craig Counsell left. Like, okay, that's it, And No, not so much. So the Brewers only got 4 hits in the game, but there were 3 Dodger errors. So you take that, if they're going to make mistakes like that, which means in ending their 3-game losing streak, you know what else the Brewers have got going? They're the only team in Major League Baseball that hasn't had a 4-game losing streak or longer this year. They've had, I think, 3 3-game losing streaks, and that's it. So they'll play one more time here at 1:10 this afternoon. And then Friday evening, the Cleveland Guardians come to town to start a 3-game series. So you can catch the action coming up today for that 1:10 game. This is where I quickly look up Luke Mathers' notes because Luke works so hard on these things, 12:35, the pregame starts on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. Going to pause for a second here, and then we'll unpack the news on this Thursday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This, of course, would be Elvis Presley, 1960, I believe. We've got more of today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit here. I'm trying to think of what... This was the one that knocked off Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini from the number one spot. Remember, we was that last week we played that? It was a number one song for like 1 week?
Yeah, yep.
Yep, yeah. And this is what did it. Elvis taking the O Solo Mio and turning it into It's Now or Never. The man could touch just about anything and turn it into gold. The Up North News Daily newsletter is available at upnorthnewswi.com. Just click subscribe up in the top banner. And stories today put in there by Christina Laurie include the impact of Project 2025 on school lunches around the country. You might have heard Selena Heller talking about that on this very program back on Monday. If not, check out the newsletter or look for our coverage on social media and our website. Also, a story about the Zippin' Pippin' coaster at Bay Beach up in Green Bay. And the growth of pickleball in Wisconsin. What's behind that? I have an idea. We're not the youngest state in the union. But you can learn more about that at our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. I'm not going to play it. I don't think anyone's offended by that. Here, let me offend them. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on. That's what are we talking about?
Or it's underbaked tennis.
It's underbaked tennis. It's yeah.
You don't want to
play horseshoes? Fine. You know, it's like you get to a certain age. I don't want to pitch horseshoes. Okay, do this. Go ahead and blow out your knee if you haven't already. Those of us without knees look at you and go, you better cherish those things.
I'm indifferent to pickleball. I've been invited to play a few times, but I just haven't been able to do it. Although I don't like hearing about the intensity involved, and I don't even mean like the athleticism. I mean like people get really, really ramped up about it. I'm like, you know what? This is supposed to be fun. And if it's not fun, then I don't want to do this.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, it's so fun. And then let me count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exclamation points on it's so fun. Don't make fun of pickleball.
Matt from Germantown, we're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference. It's called semantics, my friend.
Context. Come on, deal with it.
Yeah.
There is a great Twitter thread here from Ann Jacobs, chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who has seized upon some recent comments by Eric Hovde, Senate candidate and professional rake stepper, who made some kind of crack about how all drop boxes should be monitored like 24/7 or something like that, which, you know, we don't do to mailboxes. But they're apparently the same thing. But he wants those monitored because, again, he's just trying to, again, sow the distrust in a system that works just fine. So Ann Jacobs writes, "Hey, Wisconsin friends, now that Eric Hovde is calling for people to watch anyone who uses a Dropbox, it's probably a good time to review a few things. First," she writes, It's nobody's business but yours to use a Dropbox. You do not have to answer any questions from random people. This is true even if you are properly bringing more than one ballot because you are returning one for a person with a disability unable to do so themselves. Second, you don't have to display anything or allow an observer to see what you are doing. If you want to block their view, whether with your body or your jacket or whatever, go ahead. Again, nobody's business but yours. Third, people can try to watch what you're doing. However, if watching interferes with voting, then Wisconsin Statute 12.13 paren 3 paren X applies. Whoever interrupts or disturbs the voting proceedings may be fined up to $1,000 or imprisoned 6 months or both. Similarly, anyone, state law says, who, quote, by abduction, duress, or any fraudulent device or contrivance impedes or prevents the free exercise of the franchise at an election is guilty of a Class 1 felony. Finally, if someone is trying to interrupt voting by interfering with the use of your Dropbox, notify your municipal clerk immediately and let the Wisconsin Elections Commission know, too, that behavior should not be tolerated. And then she says there's more helpful information on Dropboxes at the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. That would be elections.wi.gov. Matt from Germantown, after reminding us that we're being rude, even as we're having a little fun with Matt here, also says that a poll worker at the election with him was saying the same thing, so scary, they don't trust the system they are a part of.
Yeah.
And that is rightly concerning because, again, the comments from somebody like an Eric Hovde are going to embolden, well, let's just use the word for 2024, weirdos, you know, to say, what are you doing? You know, can I see that ballot? I can see that ballot. I have rights, you know. No. We have election observers at poll places that have to stay within a certain distance. Mm-hmm. But at Dropboxes, it's nobody's business. You know, nobody can impede you. Nobody has to see what you're doing. And yet, yeah, you have poll workers and others who are spreading misinformation. And so I'm really thankful that somebody like Ann Jacobs is out there setting the record straight.
I completely agree. And you know, when you take the actual experience of voting on the day in the room as a conversation as well, I think the important thing, because we talked about this on Matt and Aaron Air a couple months ago, and there were people who were saying the observers should be able to stand as close to you as you want, as they want, making sure you're doing everything correct. I said to Jane, it's like, you're now going to hear about fights breaking out at polling places because you'd be like, don't stand so close to me. And I think this is what they want. They want to sow concern and paranoia and along with the amendments that were voted yes on earlier this year, because count times are going to be slower. I think they're trying to just build this thing of like, it's going to all fall apart, everybody, and we need to be there. And no, the system works. You can vote. Yeah. You can walk into that room, make sure you're registered. If you're not, register on the day. Just make sure you build in some time, especially on election day in November. The lines will be longer.
But if Eric Hovde is spreading, you know, sowing doubt about elections, it means he's trying to distract from something else. Listen as Eric Hovde answers a question from a reporter, from a local reporter, just asking one of the basics that we have expected of our elected officials for generations, and that is about your personal wealth. Here's what Eric Hovde had to say.
How much are you worth?
I'm not going to get into that question.
And why not?
Why would I? Why would I? I'm successful. You know, in America, part of the American dream is to be successful, work hard. So I've worked my tail off. I've been a workaholic. I've taken an enormous amount of risk. And what have I done with my success? I've built homes all over the world, rescuing and saving children out of slavery, sex trafficking. It's amazing how you guys don't talk about that. If I was a Democrat, you'd be talking about that all the time, or all the stuff I do here in Madison.
Yeah, the man wants to put a cape on himself and pretend he can fly. That doesn't matter. We just want to know that the guy who's going to be writing tax policy isn't using that position to inflate his own wealth. That's what an aristocracy does. And by the way, we can only afford one U.S. senator. One Ron Johnson is more than enough, inflating their wealth from tax policy that benefits the very wealthy. Let's see some transparency if you want to be a United States senator. Talk more about all this with Joseph Pecky next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Yep, nobody's happy with these commodity prices, even with a little bounce yesterday. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Is there a way that you can use these low commodity prices today to try to help you in 2025? Well, maybe. That's the suggestion of a University of Minnesota ag economist named Ed Ussett. He suggests farmers make cash sales for grain that they can store on the farm and deliver next spring. He says it's a way to capture what the market calls the carry.
Decent carries have come back into the wheat and corn markets. And if you were one of the smart ones who got some early sales off and are feeling good about them, I'd be very tempted to sell a carry, you know, hold the grain and sell a premium for May or July futures. That's a conservative move, but it protects a good start. If you price nothing, I'm certainly going to take a chance with some wheat in the bin. I don't know what's going to make it rally, but we're at low levels, and we can hope for some.
That's Ed Ussett. He's an ag economist with the University of Minnesota. Again, carry is the difference in the price for a bushel of grain delivered today and what the market will pay for that in the future. Just another risk management tool you might want to take a look at. We'll take a look at the numbers on a Thursday morning. That's next.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Beef producers, make plans now to attend the Stockmanship and Stewardship event in Lancaster on August 28th and 29th. This will be an action-packed agenda featuring topics from cattle health and well-being to pasture management and land stewardship, complemented by low-stress cattle handling demonstrations. From cow-calf to feedlot topics, it's covered and close to home. Go to www.stockmanshipandstewardship.org for more details and to register.
Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a half a cent to 216.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents, 202.75, and AA butter stood still. This morning, the September Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down 2 cents right now, 21.28 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn is up 2 at 402.75. November soybeans are up 8 at 976.5. The September wheat right now, up 8, 542.5. There's your market update. I'm PM Yankee.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, into tomorrow, and there could be some locally heavy rain, amounts of a half inch or more possible in spots. 75 today, 68 tonight, clearing 81 tomorrow. The weekend, plenty of sunshine with highs near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day, 50% savings at the Milwaukee Makers Market for this Sunday's end of summer sale. From 10 to 4 at Discovery World, embrace what makes Milwaukee special. Experience a vibrant showcase of creativity, talent, and community spirit provided by over 50 local artisans and small businesses. Go to WAUKradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $50 gift certificates for just $25 today only at WAUK Big Deals.
540 AM WAUK invites you to spend another lunch hour at the airport. Now you won't fly away, but you'll enjoy food trucks on Food Truck Friday at Kreitz Field. This Friday, Troublemakers Cochina will be there along with Taqueria Miyagi. Come on down, enjoy lunch, hang around with the airplanes, support the veterans groups that are down there. The 99s will be there too, and this week's sponsor is Spring City Aviation. We'll see you this Friday, 11 to 1:30 at Waukesha County Airport.
Todd Albaugh.
On our next show, Todd is joined by Sean Hannish and Kelly Call, creators of Just a Bit Outside, a brand new documentary about the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers run at the World Series. Tune in for your chance to win some tickets.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
We are back on this Thursday morning, 6:34. Joe Zepecki joins us, as he does each and every Thursday. Mr. Zepecki, how you doing?
I'm good. It's been a good week. The shape of the world is awfully different than it was a month ago.
Isn't it, though? My goodness, what a change. Obviously, we want to start with the statewide races since we cover a lot of state-based news in this segment here. And the rejection by voters of the constitutional amendments. I'd like to start in an interesting area, a map that somebody had posted county by county on the yes and no. Yeah. And the thing that sticks out, the thing that's obvious is, like, the entire 3rd Congressional District voted no by some margin or another. Nearly every county in there did, it appeared. What does that tell us about a district that we consider to be either purple or a lot of people think, you know, is maybe lost to Republicans already?
Well, I think it's a good omen for the fall, not just for the congressional race that we now have the matchup, Becca Cook against Derek Van Orden, but also for some of the legislative contests in that part of the state. That was the one that jumped out, with the exception of the turnout in Dane County, were the two really good signals for the fall. Listen, if turnout in Dane County is 80% in August, it could darn well be 100% in November or more with same day registration. Right. And so, I caution people from reading too much into what happened. I don't think there were any clear signals that, you know, you can take away from Tuesday night that you know what's going to happen in November, but that's politics, right? If you care about what's at stake, if you care about what's going to happen, if you care about what the state legislature looks like, if you care about Congress, if you care about the leader of the free world, we got work to do in these last 80 days or so.
Yeah, very true. Now, as far as what it means from a larger standpoint, is this, some people frame it as a win for Governor Evers himself. Others frame it as a win for the state Democratic Party for being involved, but it was certainly much more than a party that was involved in this. Where do you give credit for these attempts at Republican trickery? Who gets the credit for the defeat?
Listen, one of my favorite sayings is that multiple things can be true at the same time and almost always are. Governor Evers obviously led some of the fight and some of the fundraising to beat these back. Ben Wickler and the Democratic Party clearly organized around this and have been flexing that field organization muscle, which stands in stark contrast to a Republican Party that is broke and busted and doesn't have the ability to organize county by county. And there's clearly a rejection of a Republican legislature that has overreached time and time again. And so I think all of those things can be and are true at the same time. And in fact, when you're talking about 15-point defeats, it kind of has to be multiple things. It wasn't any one thing. And, you know, again, that doesn't mean that the next time they might try something like this, people can sleep on their laurels or rest on their laurels, excuse me. But, you know, it's certainly, we'll take the win. It's an important win for Wisconsin communities who don't have to worry about a Republican-led legislature that has no problem taking 300 days off in the middle of a global pandemic and a crisis that killed 1 million Americans. If they had this authority in 2020, my goodness, I mean, people would still be waiting for help.
Oh, without a doubt. We would have been one of the slowest state economies to recover instead of one of the first. So the question has to be asked. I get that there are new maps and there will be a new legislature. I think 7 incumbents lost yesterday because they were drawn into new districts. But still, This was, again, some Republican mischief with the Constitution. They have tried that earlier. They, of course, have gaveled in and gaveled out special sessions without giving the governor the courtesy of even pretending to talk about serious issues. They are currently withholding funds from state budgets they've already approved. What are the odds that with this defeat, we're going to see an end to Republican
intransigence? Oh, is this where the dam breaks?
Is this where we have we finally drained the swamp?
Nope, Pat, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but I don't think they're going to learn their lesson for a little while yet. They've got some more beatings to endure at the ballot box before they actually get smart. And let's look at another couple of results from Tuesday night. There were some places where very ultra MAGA election denying big liars lost Republican primaries. In a vacuum, you could look at that and say that's a good thing. That means the Republican Party is returning to being a functioning, political party of sanity. But that wasn't the whole story, because up in Northeast Wisconsin in the 8th congressional district, you had Tony Weed, with the help of Donald Trump, claim that nomination over Roger Roth, who is by no means a moderate, but he's also not a lunatic Republican either. Right. And so, sort of a mixed bag there. And what we are seeing is a Republican Party that has been taken over entirely by Donald Trump, who is flailing as a candidate and moving in the wrong direction in the polls. And now we are starting to hear the private, anonymous complaints about the way that Trump is responding to the shakeup in the race. And that's not where you want to be inside of 100 days out from an election. There is real opportunity for Democrats to make inroads, and what's going on at the top of the ticket helps with that in a couple of different ways. Democrats are more enthused about Kamala Harris than they were about Joe Biden. And Donald Trump's conduct and his vice presidential pick and his policy positions on things like abortion and what Project 2025 would mean for IVF and for mifepristone means that we could see a record gender gap in this election. And I'll give some numbers to your listeners. The traditional makeup of a statewide election in Wisconsin is that about 53% of the vote are cast by women and 47% by men. If we see a scenario where women make up 55%, even those 2 percentage points, and just are a little bit larger size of the statewide electorate, that will have down ballot implications that are good for Democrats and bad for Republicans. And if you're Kristen Lierley in the 8th, if you're Becca Cook in the 3rd, that could be determinative in what could shape up to be very, very close elections.
Without a doubt. And so we'll have two marquee matchups to follow as we go along. May come back to them yet today, but I want to stick to the legislative races as we work our way down this week's ballot. There were a lot of them. Were there any that were surprising to you in terms of the results?
I was surprised by the margin by which the Brantgens of the world went down. And again, I'm that's good. I don't want to sugarcoat this or try to be sneaky with my words. It is good that some of the most ardent big liars from the state legislature lost their primaries. That is good for our democracy. It's good for our state that no matter what happens in November, people like Tim Ramthan and Janelle Brantgen will not be members of the state legislature. That's good. And what surprised me was how hard they went down, how much they lost by in those primaries.
Well, again, it's just the weariness factor. Trump is no longer shiny and new, and now Trumpism doesn't have the mojo that it used to have. Not saying it's done by any stretch of the imagination, but it is not what it was.
No,
it might actually have a shelf life. I don't know. So let's now go to the congressional matchups here. And in the case of the third CD, obviously Democrats, they have promised to heal and unite after a bruising primary. Tell us about the investment that both national parties and outside groups either will be making, or in the case of the Democrats, should be making, to make sure that this race gets as much national attention as I think it's going to get, Joe.
Well, all of we mentioned it. All of the momentum is on the Democratic side right now. That includes fundraising, and not just for the Harris-Walz campaign, but also for the party committees. Hakeem Jeffries has been racking up numbers that even Nancy Pelosi's got to look at and go, hey, all right, nice job. And so that's a nice luxury to have. And I think it speaks to the opportunity for Western Wisconsin, which is, in the political parlance, a cheap date because there's not a major media market. You know, it costs less to buy ads in Eau Claire and La Crosse and Stevens Point and Wausau than it does in Milwaukee or even Madison or Green Bay. It's a cheap date. And so I would expect that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the super PACs will be in. They will not make the mistake that they made 2 years ago where they took their foot off the gas and allowed Derek Van Orden to beat Brad Paff by what ended up being, what, 10,000 votes? I mean, pretty narrow race. And so I think the resources will be there. They should be there because the wider the playing field, the more likely it is that there is a Democratic House of Representatives for hopefully a President Harris to work with. We can't just beat Trump and say the work is done. So I definitely want to see spending in the third. I want to see people taking the fight to Derek Van Orden, who tries to appear one way back home, but in Washington, D.C. is acting the fool and more interested in making headlines than making laws or making people's lives better. That doesn't fit any part of Wisconsin, but especially Western Wisconsin. And I want to see folks investing in the 1st and the 8th congressional districts. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. These are tougher districts than the 3rd, but we have good Democratic candidates. We have vulnerable Republican incumbents. And in a change electorate, which is what it looks like we're dealing with and what Kamala Harris is benefiting from, stranger things have happened than the floor dropping out on Donald Trump, that depressing Republican turnout, and there being opportunities to kind of sneak through and upset incumbent politicians, even if they've been there for a long time, like Brian Stile.
All right, let's turn to the U.S. Senate race. Eric Hovde's been able to pull $13 million out of his pocket so far, and, you know,
not getting a very good ROI. I thought these business types were supposed to be good at that. Almost $10 million of his own money, and fewer than 1 out of 4 Wisconsinites like him or view him favorably.
Well,
that is not good. That is bad.
That's where you begin to rely on the outside money. But I have a question about this outside money. One of the PACs that's running a lot of ads slamming Senator Tammy Baldwin is called the Fix Washington PAC. And I mean, these are harsh ads. I don't know if they're effective or not. I'm just saying they're harsh. And you take a look at who is donating to the Fix Washington PAC. And well, gosh, Joe, this is the one that where Eric Hovde's brother has put something like a couple million dollars into. That just strikes me as odd.
It is a little odd. It's a blatant workaround of our campaign finance system. It's legal, but it's pretty disgusting. And here's the problem. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but there's an old adage in consumer marketing, which is ultimately what political campaigns are, that you can have the best marketing campaign. You could have the best TV commercials. You could have the best, placement in the stores. And if the dogs won't eat the dog food, nobody's buying a second bag. And when it comes to Eric Hovde, at this point, I got to say that people just don't like the dog food. They're not buying it. And I don't know how you fix that. $13 million doesn't fix that. $26 million doesn't fix that. The guy is wrong for the moment. He is wrong for the state. Running a California Republican who refuses to distinguish himself from the Republican Party and try to even, like, the easiest thing in the world for him to do would be to say, I'm not like other Republicans. And if you just looked at the last 17 statewide races where Democrats have won 14 of them, you might say, you know what, maybe that traditional Republican playbook isn't working. I should try to convince people I'm not a typical Republican or what passes for one these days. And he refuses to do it. He's gone full MAGA. People can smell that a million miles away. They're not buying it. And, I'm not suggesting this thing's over, but boy, the writing is on the wall. And I'm fine with him flushing another couple of million or his brother flushing another couple million. Okay, guys, because you know what? The dog food doesn't taste very good.
Well, and part of the ingredient list includes fentanyl. And they're really attacking hard on fentanyl as a border issue because, of course, this is really a border issue that they want to bring up. Be afraid of, the browning of America, as people put it. when it's really mostly tourists that are bringing it in. Tammy Baldwin's been known for a while as somebody working on the fentanyl issue. It yeah. seems like an odd choice. Again, it seems like they didn't do their homework on this.
It's nonsense, and people know it's nonsense. The thing that Wisconsinites know about Tammy Baldwin is she listens to us, she hears us, she fights for us, whether that's through Make It in America legislation, whether that is through making sure that we are fighting the scourge of fentanyl, securing the southern border. People are smart enough to realize that it was Republicans and chiefly Donald Trump who tanked the toughest border security bill in American history. This could be the law of the land right now, today. Joe Biden was ready to sign it, but Donald Trump said, nope, don't fix the problem. I want to run on it. So does Eric Hovde. He's going to try.
They're trying, but it's so far not working out. Joe Zepecki, thank you. We'll talk to you from the convention next week.
Big week.
Big week ahead. Back with more after this. You're up north.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
A lot of us were alive to remember. For some, it's just legend. The 1982 Brewers World Series run. Join us this Thursday, noon to 2 on the All Ball Show as we welcome Kelly Call, producer, and Sean Hannish, director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Milwaukee Brewers. We're giving away 4 tickets to the Brewers game and 4 tickets so you can be at the world premiere on September 13th. Join us on Thursday.
The Todd All Ball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
Sing it, Dino.
Everybody falls in love somehow.
The Beatles had the number one song yesterday, 60 years ago in 1964. And Dean Martin knocked the Beatles' A Hard Day's Night out and took over the number one spot in the country with this classic. He's a very complicated figure, you know. He's a handsome fella. He's got this very rich singing voice. He was really funny.
Yeah.
He was also a foul-mouthed drunk.
Yeah.
You take the good, you take the bad, right? You know.
I mean, nowadays you're like, is he foul-mouthed drunk? That's it. Oh, great. Yeah. Is he ruining the lives of people around him? I don't know, but
right. What was his Matt Helm? He had like a James Bond knockoff string of movies, and they weren't like Austin Powers spoofs, but they were kind of in that, he's a very suave spy guy and they've got all the inventions and all of that. And I kind of thought those might have a little more in a mileage, but again, I was a kid back then. Yeah. So I might look at them now and go, oh no, there's a reason that we don't play the Dean Martin detective movies anymore. Let's see. Happy birthday to Tom Johnson, the original lead singer of the Doobie Brothers. And I guess you'd say the current lead singer, then there was the Michael McDonald phase in between, but he is 76 years old today.
Oh, that's
that Tom Johnson.
That's quintessential Doobies. Well, they're on tour now. The whole Michael McDonald, Tom Johnson. They, yeah.
And you gotta love that. You gotta love when they go, okay, we had our different phases, but now the band is all together.
Yeah.
And it's funny, for all the music news we do in this segment, it's very rare that a band will say, hey, we got the whole band back together. There's usually some people that are like, never welcomed again.
And the fans who hated the Michael McDonald era are now so much older, they're like, I just love it. It's like Genesis. You're like, Peter Gabriel's the only lead singer. And you're like, no, they're all great. No,
they're all good. It's the whole package.
Yeah.
On this day, 55 years ago, 1969, it was day one of Woodstock. the music festival on Max Yazger's 60-acre farm. Massive crowds made it clear, as Songfacts likes to say, that something's happening here. Day one performers included Richie Havens, Joan Baez, and Arlo Guthrie. Birthdays today include retired Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, 86, and country singer Bobby Helms was born this day in 1933, passed away in 1997. I have to say, country music singer Bobby Helms, even though nobody remembers any of his country songs anymore, you hear him once a year doing this. People turning down their radios right now going, wait, what? Looking out the window, like, is it snowing? No. Bobby Helms, born this day in 1933. The late Bobby Caldwell was born this day in 1951, who gave us one of those quintessential yacht rock songs, What You Won't Do for Love. Mm-hmm. We just might play that a little bit later on. Deborah Messing from Will and Grace is 56. Joe Jonas is 35. Jennifer Lawrence is 34. And I told the Endless Love story, the Diana Ross, Lionel Richie song about the friends of ours who were wedding singers, mm-hmm. and they'd sing it up in the balcony of the churches.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So Endless Love was the number one song this day in 1981.
My love.
For those folks who missed it before.
There's only you.
Yes, we had friends who are very accomplished wedding singers, and this was, of course, requested frequently in the 1980s. And if they were up in a church balcony where nobody could see them, they would do all the hand motions as well, just make it completely over the top. And I love the thought that that might have happened, you know, at somebody's wedding. All right, here's a very interesting music tidbit from this day in 1992, okay? The top two spots on the charts were Boyz II Men and TLC. Boyz II Men was there with End of the Road, and here's TLC with Baby, Baby, Baby.
Baby, Baby.
Baby, 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 Baby.
Love that song.
I love that.
Anyway,
so
the little tidbit is, here you're thinking, oh yeah, here's these two big groups. Yeah, they were on tour, but they hadn't really hit it big yet. At the time that they were getting these first chart toppers, they were the opening acts on MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit tour. Yeah. Apple introduced the iMac on this day in 1998, for which I am very thankful because this show is done completely on an iMac before it gets down to Mr. Bach and Waukesha. On this day in 1995, Garbage released their self-titled debut album, adding a much-needed female voice. Shirley Manson from Scotland had joined the group, and so the self-titled debut album had, again, another one of her famous kind of Wisconsin-based hits.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it rains.
All of a bunch of 40-year-old former emo girls are like, what?
Right?
I hear emo. I hear emo.
Yes. Hear that or Stupid Girl. Or,
yeah. Yep,
really, really enjoyed them. I want everybody to be grateful that I'm not playing the next song, but it was on the same day, 1995, when this album came out. A single was released this day as well by the Spanish pop duo Los Del Rio. But I'm not going to play the Macarena right here for you guys because you're good listeners. You're good people, and you deserve better. I will close instead by telling you that on this day in 1896 in St. Petersburg, Russia, was born Leon Theremin, inventor of the theremin, conveniently named, one of the first electronic instruments. Does anybody use that? Well, the Beach Boys did.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up.
I should have looked. I know somewhere you can find websites that track the use of theremins, you know, in songs, and wonder if that's been used recently, or how recently has a theremin been used.
I bet you they're used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My friend has one, and he uses it all the time.
How fun does it look when you're trying to learn it? Just think of the Olympics, okay, when you're trying to learn the balance beam and how many times you fall off that thing before you get anything right. How crazy it must have looked as you're trying to learn how to play the theremin with your hand. This is it's a very short day on the National Day calendar. This is National Leather Craft Day. I have my leather watch band on just for the occasion here today. This is Check the Chip Day. If you've had your pet chipped, you know, in case they run away and you can track them, check and make sure that it's still there and properly placed. And it's Lemon Meringue Pie Day. And I haven't had a lemon meringue pie in a while, but I'm a fan. I would eat. Yep. Alicia Saunders writes in, as a 40-year-old former emo girl, I feel called out.
Excuse me, Alicia. You're seen. I see you. I see you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a Throwback Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're still celebrating the glorious blue victory in the partisan primary, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.